today on Real Radio.
When God wants us to be prepared, Christian, wake up. That's part of this whole thing that's going on in the world today. Are you awake? Are you prepared? God is speaking to you today, and he said, I know where you live. I know how hard it is. I know what's going on there. I'm with you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called My Dear Church with a message titled, My Dear Pergamos, I've Written You a Letter. Beginning with the church at Ephesus, Jesus singles out actual churches in Asia Minor, which is now, of course, modern-day Turkey. His intention was to deliver a timeless message to every believer in every church by challenging us to examine our hearts and where we are in our walk with the Lord. Many are confused over what's happening today. Some say it's God's judgment upon this earth, while others call it simply a process of evolution. But one thing really is very clear. God is speaking to the world, and you know what? We've got to listen. So today on day two of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that like Pergamos, our cities are full of immorality and compromise, and God wants us to be prepared with the truth. God's Word, the Bible, is sharper than any two-edged sword. It exposes the human heart and mind with judgment, but also with salvation, forgiveness, and healing. And now in his message called, My Dear Pergamos, I've Written You a Letter, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
The word that is used here is for the Roman broadsword. And I have one right here, and it's huge. And it would be oftentimes fastened to the back of the soldier, or off to the side, and it's something that is heavy. It's something that is used in open field combat where you're coming in. So they would come into battle, and then they would get this sword going, and they would do a rotation to where they look like almost like helicopters coming in. Whom! And just the inertia of this big blade going is just brutal because it's going to go through things and just keep going. And notice this is two-edged. It's razor on each side, not on one side, both sides. Jesus says of himself, I'm the one that holds the two-edged sword. The Bible says, as we'll see in a moment, that out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword that with it, he should strike the nations in judgment. The word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's very remarkable, powerful word of God. And that's what he's talking about right here, right now in this study. So those seven mentions, get ready to write it down. Luke chapter 2, verse 35 says, yes, a sword shall pierce through your own soul that and that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. That is Simeon's words to Mary. Joseph and Mary took Jesus to the temple to be dedicated on the eighth day. And Simeon said something extremely prophetic. He said to them in greeting the child, but then he looks at Mary and he says to Mary, this child's going to pierce your heart. This child, listen, it's very, I'm probably going to get hate mail over this, but I'm sorry, I'm just a repeater. The word here that's used, that what Simeon spoke to Mary, Mary agrees with, by the way. If you go look at the Magnificat of Mary, her song of praise and adoration to the Lord, she speaks in scripture and says, the Lord, my Savior. Did you know that beautiful, precious Mary needed a Savior just like you and I do? That's her song there in the Gospels. Read it for yourself. Fulfilling Simeon's words, this child will pierce your heart, Mary. What does that mean? The truth of his life lived out all the way to the cross is going to lay you wide open, Mary. That's what God's word does. And she had given birth to the word of God. Jesus, as we'll see, is the bread of life, the word of God. Revelation 1:16. Are you guys okay? Hanging in there with me? Revelation 1:16 says, he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Depiction of Jesus, Revelation 1:16. Here, Revelation 2:12. Next, Revelation 2:16. Repent or else I will come upon you quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Revelation 19:15. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he should strike the nations. Revelation 19:21. And the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. A reference to Jesus Christ at the second coming. Wow, profound, powerful. Look at verse 13. Jesus says, I know your works. You can circle the word works because that word does not appear in all manuscripts, but it appears in some. It's irrelevant because Jesus does know your works. Anyway, if it appears in an old manuscript or not, this is a fact. I know your works. And the meaning is, I know where you dwell. Look at it carefully, verse 13. Look at your Bible. You need to study along and take notes and look at your Bible. Verse 13, I know where you live. I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. I know the environment, Jesus is saying, of your city and those who live there. I know that it's wholly given over to paganism and cult worship and occult worship. I want you to look at these temples, church. We'll give you a couple of pictures here, because every Roman city had its gods. In fact, most Roman cities had some form of representation of all of the gods. But every Roman city had their favorite gods, and Pergamum had its favorite gods. And the temples of Athena were there. Dionysus had his temple there. Asclepius had his temple there. We'll talk about him in a moment. And the chief god, of course, always the chief god of the ancient world, was Zeus or Jupiter. Goes by the same god, different names. Jupiter or Zeus. And you see these temples. These are actual sketches of the ancient temple. By the way, the actual layout can all be determined today factually. Oh my goodness, listen, Christian. These locations you can go to and you can visit the archaeological remains of these temples, and you can measure them. They're huge and they're imposing. And what stands there, the foundations are there, many of their arches are there, but at Pergamum, all of these temples were located on the top of the mountain that is in the city center. You can Google the image of that city today and see that worship center. But notice what Jesus says, I know where you are. I know where you're at. And it's remarkable that he's announcing to them that you are in the place of Satan's seat. When God wants us to be prepared, Christian, wake up. That's part of this whole thing that's going on in the world today. Are you awake? Are you prepared? God is speaking to you today and he said, I know where you live. He's not saying like, I know where you live. He's saying, I know where you live. I know how hard it is. I know what's going on there. I'm with you. The worship of Athena, all of these things, by the way, very sexual, very pornographic. All man-made gods are like that, by the way. Man-made gods are cool. They approve of what you want to do. That's why people make idols. Did you know that? Listen, if you're not a follower of Jesus, it's because you're a follower of your own thing, whatever your thing is. The gods of paganism always approve of what you want to do. Then comes along the God of heaven and earth, the one true, uncreated God. And he says, no, this is truth. You are a fallen creature in a fallen world, and you live among fallen people, and you need to be redeemed out of it. You need to prepare, and you need to get ready. But when Jesus says, I know where you're at Satan's throne. Can you imagine living in a city like that when Jesus reveals this? Hey, I know where you live. See, what's going on here? According to Jesus, Satan's throne is positioned there. Now, let's be honest. It is true that the temples that you've been seeing on your screen or shall see on your screen here in a moment, if you haven't already, those temples, the one to Zeus was literally called the throne or the seat of Satan by the Jews in those days. I'm not talking Christians. Before Pentecost, before the church was born, the Christians came to the realization what the Jews had always said about Pergamum and its paganism. It's the seat of Satan. Jesus echoes that. I know where you live. You live in this, where the seat of Satan is. You say, Jack, that's ridiculous. I thought Satan was in hell. I thought Satan was tied up to a barbecue with an apple in his mouth cooking. Oh, no. You say, what? Isn't Satan in hell? Nope. Did you know that? He's going there, but not yet. Satan's loose. He's running around in the halls of power. He's goofing around with nations. He's trying to destroy spiritual leaders that are pointing people in the truth. He's trying to destroy America. He's trying to destroy freedom. He wants people in slavery. He wants people destroyed and before destroyed in great pain. Somebody made a comment the other day. Oh, you guys talk about this God of great love. Then why there's so much suffering in the world? And I thought, you know, that's such an ongoing question by people who are completely ignorant of the truth, uninformed. Read your Bible, man. The Bible tells us that God is love and that he made everything perfect. And we're the bozos that messed it all up. We're the ones that decided, God, I don't want you to talk to me anymore. I want to do what I want to do. And Eve looked at the fruit and she said, my, my, that causes me to think amazing thoughts about myself. And after all, that snake guy over there said that if I just eat of it, I'm going to have the power of God to know right and wrong, good and evil. Oh, man, I want to be like God. Look, anybody who comes along and says, hey, follow our team, you'll be like God. That doctrine came from a serpent who was possessed by Satan in the Garden of Eden. Don't listen. We need Christ. If we were so amazing, we'd save ourselves. We can't do it. We can't even get ourselves out of a paper bag, if you're honest. 1 John 5:19 says that regarding this world that you and I are in and that we need to be prepared to live in, John says, 1 John 5:19, we know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The sway is an influence. The sway is a possession. It is a, it's having someone duped and moving along. Look, I don't know where you are in your world, where you live, but we all live in a way at the seat of Satan, also the throne of Satan in this world. Southern California is a wonderful place, but not too long ago, marijuana was legalized. And just the stink of it, it stinks. It stinks. Now watch this. I've never done marijuana. I was never into drugs when I was a non-believer. I had my flaws, but drugs didn't make sense to me. But people, it stinks. The smell of it stinks. And there's people driving in their cars and they're doing pot. Listen. And you can smell pot walking maybe in your neighborhood coming out of homes. And it's funny, the only people who think it smells good are the people who do it. People who don't do it think it stinks. And the truth of the matter is, well, you know, medicinal purposes, and all of a sudden everybody needs a prescription. It stinks. And when we think about that ancient location, under the name of some of these gods, there were medicinal practices. One of them is Asclepius. You ever heard of that? You say, I'm not sure if I've heard of that. Asclepius is the serpent on the pole that a Christian would see that and say, oh, that's from the Bible. That's when Moses had a serpent made out of brass and put on a pole and held up high, and the children of Israel were healed if they looked at the serpent. That's interesting, right? That's, by the way, a serpent on a brass pole in the Bible would symbolize a serpent being judged. Brass is a metal of judgment, Satan being judged. Be that as it may, the ancient world had its symbol. And we even use that today. That symbol of Asclepius is used in our emergency response, our first responders today. That image, the image of Asclepius. And this is amazing because talk about being under the sway. People walking around doped up are susceptible to believe or do anything. And they... at the temple of Asclepius would approach there and they would get all doped up with the various hallucinogenics of their day. And listen, I'm not kidding you. They preached and believed, oh, this is the medicine of the gods. Oh, priestess, write me a prescription. Woo, let's get high. It's the medication of the gods. And you would start at the temple of Asclepius. And listen to this, I kid you not. At the temple of Asclepius, there was a tunnel. Not just any tunnel, it was the tunnel of healing. And no matter what kind of healing you needed, as you walked through the tunnel, there were seductive female voices that would speak down to you from openings or portals in the ceiling that would say, remember, you get doped up, then you walk into a tunnel, like you take some drugs and you're going to go into this arcade or this show. Why? Why does that little god want you to get doped up first before you do this? To take away your inhibitions, to make you gullible. Are you listening to me? To make you gullible, to take away your inhibitions, to open you up. That's why the Bible says a person who practices pharmakei, hallucinogenic practices, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? It's not that God is saying, you took a pill, you're going to hell. No, he's not saying that. He's saying you have created a lifestyle whereby you open yourself up to the spirit realm called pharmakei. Goes all the way back to the temple of Asclepius. Get doped up, walk through the tunnel. Listen, this is what they would hear those female voices say. I'm quoting, you are healed. You have been healed by Asclepius. The God of all healing has healed you. Only believe, believe in Asclepius and all will be well. Do you hear that? Take a little opiate, dumb yourself up, walk through a tunnel. The voice is coming from above in the dark tunnel through portals. And not only that, it's a female voice of seduction speaking very persuasively. Only believe. Only believe. I've entered the city of Pergamos and it's the city that welcomes me and it says, welcome, the city of sincerity. Just be sincere. It doesn't matter what you believe. Just be sincere about it. You think Adolf Hitler was sincere about Nazism? Absolutely sincere. You think Osama bin Laden was sincere about his belief? Absolutely. Being sincere about your belief doesn't make your belief true. Being true is what ought to warrant your passion for that truth, your sincerity towards the truth. You see, this flies in the face of our world. I'm either going to worship my life or the world around me because I've adopted the pagan gods at these temples. Or I'm going to see truth for what it is and I'm going to follow the one true God. You have to make your choice in that. But I love the fact that Jesus knew exactly where they lived. They lived in the town where Satan resided. Absolutely amazing to me. And with that, they took spirituality and they mixed it with politics. It was politics mixed with paganism, which later on explains why in Pergamum there was severe persecution against Christians. It was a great place of learning, by the way. They had a library there that was the second largest library in the known world at the time. And when a guy by the name of General Mark Anthony... When Mark Anthony came there and he saw that 200,000 volume library in Pergamum, you know what he did? He packaged it up and he shipped it to his honey. You know who his sweetheart was? He shipped it to Cleopatra in Egypt as a gift because it was so impressive. Intellect, spirituality, politics, wow, we got it covered. But if God's not in it, it's done. It's over. It will come to an end. Listen, you know, right now in America, do you know the only reason why America is still standing? Is because God has allowed her to stand. You know why the gospel is still allowed to be preached right now anyway? Is because God has put people into power that love and preserve our Christian heritage. Some of you in the nations of your world where you live in, you cannot say that. And I believe America's days are numbered when it gives honor to the glory of God. But for now, we take advantage of that. and we stay true to God, which look at verse 13. Jesus commends them and he says that you've held fast to my name. Good for you. And you didn't deny my faith. Good for you. He commends them. Great job. You've honored my name. You've hung on to the faith. Good for you. He says in verse 13, even in the days in which Antipas, we know nothing about who Antipas is. Historically, archaeologically, we don't know anything about him, but he was obviously a believer that lived in Pergamum. Was my faithful martyr who was killed among you where Satan dwells. This guy was martyred for his faith in Jesus. This guy was killed for his faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, look, Christian persecution's rising, church, again. Look at this headline. Christian persecution and genocide is worse now than any time in history, report says. Hundreds of thousands of Christians are dying every year by persecution, and that number is increasing. Which brings us to this argument. Number two is found in verse 14 to 16, is that God is requiring you and I to be true. Not emotionally based, but to be true. When you and I are true, Christian persecution will come against us. I don't know how to say this, but just say it straight up. Listen, nobody wants to sign up for persecution. But if you are going to say, I'm going to get prepared at this time and walk with Jesus like never before, I'm going to stop playing games and be a real Christian. If you decide that you're going to make your life to be a discipled life of Jesus Christ, you will become the most loving person in your family, which will cause you to become the most hated person in your family. And a lot of the people will hate you and they don't even know why. Because actually, technically, they'll see Jesus not knowing in you and they'll hate him, you, for it. Jesus warned us. He told us about this. But don't think that you're going to hold forth the truth without drawing attention. I saw a friend of mine who actually attends this church. And he did a video. He's a medical doctor, and he just recently did a video, and it's gone viral, over 1.5 million views. And with that kind of exposure, speaking that kind of truth, what do you think is going to happen? Attack. He's going to be discredited. He's going to be gone after. People are going to try to marginalize the truth. That's why the truth, thank God. Listen, if you're on a team that is patted on the back by everybody around you, watch out. But if you're on Team Jesus, you can expect in being prepared for the truth. And the truth will draw flack. But listen, the truth also draws examination because the church belongs to Jesus Christ. Pastor, the church does not belong to you. So stop trying to control it. You need to let it go. You need to let it breathe.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in his message called, My Dear Pergamus, I've Written You a Letter. Thanks for being with us today. And don't forget, when we are filled with the Spirit of God, we can break free from chaos. And in His strength, we can find peace and refuge for our weary souls. My Dear Pergamus, I've Written You a Letter. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called, My Dear Church, a series that's taken from the book of Revelation about the seven letters written to seven churches and what Jesus wants to say to the church today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, we'd like to share with you Pastor Jack's book of the month for April. It's called Keys to the Deeper Life by A.W. Tozer. Keys to the Deeper Life contains six of Tozer's best-known essays and editorials. Now, most were written more than three decades ago, but the insights they offer are as fresh and thought-provoking as the day they were published. Now, although never considered to be a popular speaker or a prolific writer for that matter, audiences did appreciate what Tozer had to say. He was probably the most widely read Christian writer of his time. One reviewer says, Keys to the Deeper Life is a small book, big on going deeper with God. Keys to the Deeper Life. It's available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.